the number one cause for divorce among Christians is not lack of communication issues. It's not because of adultery or finances. The number one cause for Christian divorce is doing marriage your way instead of God's way.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Good day, everyone. Thank you so much for tuning in to the broadcast today. We're continuing with Pastor Bill's study from the New Testament epistle of Ephesians today, with the message titled, Becoming the Woman God Wants You to Be. Now here's Pastor.
To Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22. We're continuing our study now through the greatest book ever written, and that is the book of Ephesians. And we've entered the last section, and as we have entered it, you know, we want to continue to learn what it truly means to walk worthy of our calling. Remember that word once again, worthy, is a picture in the Greek of a set of scales of equal weights on each side. So its meaning for us, it would be equal in doctrine and equal in application. Now we're balanced. We're having a worthy walk. We hear God's word and then we do God's word. Now, with all of that being said, that worthy walk, loved one, not only means to imitate God as dear children. It not only means to walk in love, walk in wisdom, walk in the light, it means that every married couple, that Jesus is their Lord, that they give honor to God in their marriages. Now, with all that being said, let's just read, and then I want to comment on it before we get into it. But look at verse 22 just for a moment. Let's just read a couple of verses. Wives, what's that next word? Oh, yeah, we learned about that last Sunday, didn't we? Wives, submit to your own husbands, and it tells us how to do that, as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church. He is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let wives be to their own husbands in everything. Now, let's do a quick review. From last Sunday, remember that the number one cause for divorce among Christians is not lack of communication issues. It's not because of adultery or finances or any of those things. The number one cause for Christian divorce is doing marriage your way instead of God's way. It's investing in your plan instead of God's plan, and there is only one plan for marriage, and it's God's. Amen? God created marriage. He created the male. He created the female. We know that. Now, if we're not submitting to God in our marriage to the Lord Jesus, that means he's not the Lord of our marriage. That means that we are acting like we are smarter or wiser than Almighty God, and we're not walking in the fear of God. Remember that marriage is a covenant. It's not a contract. That's when two people become one flesh. That is a miracle, loved one. Now, the other thing we learned last Sunday was Ephesians 5:18. It says, "Where you be not drunk with wine, which is dissipation, but be ye," it's a command, remember, "be ye being filled with the Holy Spirit." Now, that's not an option. That's not a suggestion. That is a commandment. And not only, listen, whenever a couple marries, if you want to have a Holy Spirit-led marriage, you have to include verse 18. And you see, whenever a husband and wife are obedient to verse 18, they want to be controlled by the Spirit. They want to walk in the Spirit. They want to walk in agreement with the Spirit. Then if they are obedient to verse 18, then they will manifest verse 21 in their marriage and in their lives. Remember verse 21, how important it is. Submitting one to another, or submitting yourselves one to another, husband and wife. And the way that you do it, it says, in the fear of Christ. It's no longer your will, the husband's will, the wife's will. It's both of you walking in agreement and saying, we only want God's will in our marriage. Remember what I said last Sunday. If a husband and wife, if you do not agree upon and obey verse 21, there is absolutely no reason to walk into verse 22 because it will never, ever work. So mutual submission, okay, is based upon what? The fear of Christ. the one who has all authority and all power in heaven and earth. If you do marriage any other way than God's way, then you're saying that Jesus is not truly the Lord of your marriage. Now, this for the women this morning, I cannot think of a more important word than the word that God has for you this morning. The role of the wife, having a marriage God's way, literally becoming the woman God created you to be. Let's say that together. Becoming the woman God created you to be. That's the title of this sermon beginning in verse 22. It says, wives, you know that word, submit to your own husbands. That doesn't mean every man in the world, only one. Submit to your own husbands, your own private, unique possession that God has given unto you. It says, and here's how you do it, as to the Lord. So sometimes we think, well, how does a wife really submit unto the husband? This is what I wrote down yesterday afternoon before I left here. I'm going to read it almost verbatim because I really like it personally, okay? It says this, wives, how do you submit to your own husband? I said, here it comes. I said, your husband arrives home from work. Oh, he's had a very hard day. You know exactly what he needs. He needs to unwind. The moment he walks through the door, he smells the aroma of rose petals that lay on the floor. Immediately, his heart starts racing because he knows what that means. Slowly, he follows the trail of rose petals that you gently and lovingly placed on the floor before he arrived home. They lead your husband to his favorite place, the place that he has been thinking about all day long. To his PlayStation 4 Pro. It is there you gently kiss him, encourage him to play his favorite video game as long as he desires. You look into his eyes and you say, oh, honey, you look like you should play Call of Duty. Then you look into his eyes and you say, oh, no, that's not it. You must play Mortal Kombat. But you, the wife, you just arrived from work, but you don't need to unwind. You feel so good. You stopped at Kroger's. You picked up dinner. You picked up the kids. Now you're the wife. You're the mother. You're the woman. And when your husband is finished with his much-needed stress rest, with great joy, you place his dinner, maybe a burnt offering, I'm not sure, on the table for him, and you have even cut his steak into little pieces of meat. Is that how you submit to your husband? Thank you. Now, men, you thought you had it made, didn't you? Yeah. No, listen, submit is a love word, amen? Yeah, it says, as to the Lord. It is a high command, ladies. It is a holy command. Your obedience is to the one who died for you and paid your sin debt and tasted death for you, amen? That's who you obey. The Bible says in Galatians 3:28, there's neither Jew, Greek, there's neither slave or free. There is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. What does that mean? It means now that we're born from above, we're new creations in Christ and sons and daughters of God. It means that we are all equals in Christ, regardless of race, education, social standing, or even gender, married or unmarried. We are all equals. Now listen to me, wives. No, women, all women. You are just as Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 is your husband. Thanks be unto God who has blessed you, blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen? Do you understand? It's just not the husband. It's you. You're just as blessed as he is, loved one. You're not only are you adopted like he is, accepted in Christ Jesus like he is, forgiven, redeemed, sealed with the Holy Spirit, seated with Christ in the heavenlies. Man, listen, just as your husband is. Wives, listen, women, you have been given, the moment you were born again, you have been given at least one spiritual gift. Amen? Just like your husband was. No, listen, you as a woman, you are going from glory to glory to glory. That means the former glory is not as going to be as good as the future glory. Does that make sense? Listen, you are fishers of men. You're ambassadors of Christ, or ambassadors for Christ. Does that make sense? See, it seems like sometimes women get this a lesser role. And women, listen to me, all wives, listen, beware of what I call a snake, meaning the devil, a snake tactic. In other words, one of his favorite things to do is deceive women because he deceived one in the very beginning. As you know, the first person ever tempted was a woman. The first person ever lied to on earth was a woman. You follow me? Yes, the first person ever deceived on earth was a woman. Adam gave up his authority. Eve was deceived. Now listen, some, and I say this with all kinds of love in my heart, some well-meaning wives, and the reason I can say all this is because of counseling. All these many years, even though I'm only 45, I've counseled for 50 years. You know what I mean? Some well-meaning wives want their husband to tell them what to do, when to do it, and how to do it. They're well-meaning. They love the Lord. They love their husbands. But they just don't want to make the decisions themselves. They want their husbands to make the decisions because if they make a decision and it is wrong, it's her fault. If he makes a decision, it's wrong. It's his fault. Does that make sense? But here's the problem. That kind of wife, even though she loves her husband, loves the Lord. That kind of wife, loved one, finds submission a relief. But see, the problem with all of that, it's not true biblical submission. Now, there are some well-meaning wives, and what they do, they misuse their God-given role in marriage. And what they do, they turn mutual submission one to another into sloth, laziness, if you will. In other words, they say, why be a student of God's word, really? Why do I need to dig into the word of God? Why do I need to have a really great prayer life? Or why do I even need to discover my spiritual gift? Because, well, all of God's leading doesn't come through me. All of God's leading only comes through my husband. Is that true biblical submission? No. Submitting, what does it say? Submitting one to another, yourselves one to another, and it tells us how. In the fear of Christ. Now look at verse 22 again. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. So husband and wives, you have different roles. You're equal, but you have different roles, not different importance. In the eyes of God, listen, he loves you both equally, all right? The Christian wife submits to her husband for one reason and one reason only. You love the Lord Jesus Christ, and you obey God's divine chain of command. Here it comes, verse 23. For the husband is the bully of the wife. No, for the husband is the head of the wife. And watch these two important words. As also, you should underline those words. As also what? Well, as also Christ is the head of the church, he's the savior of the body. Now, in Scripture, head means either source of life or authority. Now, my question to you is this. Whose plan is verse 23? It's not woman's plan. It's not the man's plan. Matter of fact, man never asked to be the head of his family or the head of his wife, did he? No, he didn't ask for that. No, this is God's plan. So a wife, she acknowledges the headship of her husband. Why? Because you submit to the divine headship and authority that God has put into place. And husbands, I want you to really read verse 23 very, very carefully. You are to lead and you are to act in your God-given role. How? Just as Christ did. He gave of himself that sacrificial love. So victory, loved one, in marriage is found when both husband and wife, when they submit to God's divine order. Let me read 1 Corinthians 11:3. Paul writes, I want you to know that the head of every man is Christ. Now, that means the authority, okay? Now, and the head of woman is man. Now, that word there means more of the source or the origin, okay? So, the head of every man and husband is Christ. Isn't that a great thing to know? That Jesus is our Lord. And when you submit to his absolute rule and leadership in your life, what great victory that brings. So Jesus is the head of all. He has all power, all authority, heaven and earth. Every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess. Amen? He is our Savior. Man, he's the head of the church. And Christ's headship over man is a loving headship, and so should the husband be over the wife. So the head of woman is man. Husband, never forget, this authority, you didn't just get it from someplace. This is authority that is delegated by God himself and only for the purposes of God in marriage. So this has been the divine command since creation. Now listen carefully, guys. God-given authority never means superiority. Never. Absolutely never. Does God favor men more than women? No, absolutely not. So women, listen, this has absolutely nothing to do with personal worth or your abilities or your intelligence, nothing like that. No, headship, again, means origin, source. It means that you were taken out of man. Look at 1 Corinthians 11:8. It says, for man is not from woman or did not originate from woman, but woman from man. Nor was man created for the woman, but woman for the man. If we went back into Genesis, now that would explain that verse. Let me just read parts of Genesis to you. In Genesis 2:18, it says, and the Lord said, it's not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him. Now, you remember what Adam had been doing? Adam had named all the animals, but there was no one found compatible for him. And so God just made a great statement. Why did our Father in heaven, why did he create woman? He said, it's not good that man should be alone. Now, let's preface that by saying this. Some men, as we learn in the New Testament, they're not going to ever be married, and that's okay. That's a gift from God as well. But the norm here is that the Lord said, listen, it's not good that man should be alone, and God says, I'm going to do something about it. It's not an afterthought with God. Go back and read Genesis chapter 1. So we know that he just said, listen, man needs a cook, right? Man needs a helper. Man needs someone to make him feel special. No. God says man needs a helper. John 14:16, Jesus said, I will pray to the Father. He will give you another helper, meaning the Holy Spirit, that he will abide with you forever. Wives, listen to me now. Men, you listen too in marriage. Helper has never been and will never be a demeaning word. It is a divine word from the lips of God. Amen? It's a divine thing. Helper describes a divine function, not a worth. It's what God created a woman to be. And matter of fact, if you look at that word in Hebrew, I don't know how to pronounce it, but it says that in Hebrew, the same word, God is our helper. That means something. It means that men don't ever make helper a bad word. The wife's role is helper, which means this. Since God is our helper, it means it is a God-like divine function. Matter of fact, the Bible says in Psalm 54:4, behold, God is our helper. Same word in the Hebrew. Hebrews 13:6 in the Greek, the Lord is my helper. It says in Genesis 2:21, and the Lord caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam. And he slept. I bet he did. You know what I mean? And what did God do? It says God took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in his place. Now, when you read verse 21 of chapter 2 of Genesis, the main point is not Adam's rib, okay? That's not it at all. The main point is that Eve came out of Adam's side. He took the bone and the flesh out of Adam's side, not his head, not his foot. Do you understand me? That you are to be at his side forever. You are God's divine helper. What an incredible, anointed person a woman truly is in marriage and outside of marriage as well. It says here, and then the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, listen to what he did. He made, that word literally means he built the woman. He didn't build man. He built the woman. And he brought her to the man. So the first marriage, God is giving away the bride. So that word made, built, or constructed, if you will. So God designed woman from a part of man. The first woman on this planet came from man. Isn't that odd? Isn't that weird? 1 Timothy 2:13, for Adam was formed first, then Eve. So only Adam came from the dust of the ground, not Eve. Eve came from the bone and the side and the flesh of Adam. Matthew Henry called Eve this. She said, Eve is dust double refined. You know what's interesting now about women, especially Eve? Did you know that the creation of woman in Genesis is described in 6 verses? Think about that. 6 verses. And the description for Adam is only 1 verse. When he was created, only 1 verse. Think about that. The trouble that the Lord went to. See, Adam was designed to be fulfilled only when he had his divine helper. Now, it says in verse 23 of Genesis, and Adam said, listen to what he says, it's so cool. God doesn't say this, but Adam says this through the power of the Spirit. Now, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman or Isha because she was taken out of Ish or out of man. Incredible. So Adam had named all the animals, and the last person that he named, you shall be called woman. Now listen carefully. When Adam saw Eve, the moment he saw her, do you ever just think about that in the garden? I mean, he had never seen a woman. And they didn't have any clothes on, you know? He's going, who are you? I've never seen it. I've been seeing, you know, birds and who is this? Where'd you come from? And he said, oh, man, now I know, you know? The moment he saw Eve, what did he do? He started prophesying. He said, bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. Now, we could put it into today's words. It was love at first sight. When he saw her, now listen, this is so important, guys, ladies. When he saw Eve, Adam recognized her as part of him. Do you understand? He said, bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. He didn't see Eve as a separate person. That is so vital for our understanding in marriage. He said, Eve, man, you are my missing ingredient. And God says, yeah, she has a divine gift. She is the divine helper. What a glorious gift and a glorious word for a married woman. It says, therefore a man, Adam says, shall leave his father and mother, be glued or joined to his wife, and they, male, female, they shall become, here it comes, one flesh. Not you and me, not me and you, one flesh. Now listen, Adam was prophesying. Did Adam and Eve have parents, a mom and a dad? No, God was their creator. No, but this speaks of such intimacy. Now, I know you're in Ephesians. I want you to look now, drop down to verse 28. So husbands, bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh, watch this. So husbands ought to love their own wives, how? As their own bodies. Why? He who loves his wife, who does he love? Himself. He says, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it just as the Lord does his church, meaning the body. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this reason, a man shall leave his father, mother, and be permanently joined or glued to his wife. Here it comes, the marriage covenant, the miracle, right before us on those pages. The two shall become what? One. One flesh. Loved one, listen to me, men. The most important words in those scriptures I just read is found there in verse 28, and the word is as, as. Look at that. As their own bodies, as my own flesh. The two become one flesh. What does that mean? It means that your wife is one of the most glorious things you'll ever possess and have in your entire life. She is your divine helper. She is God's Almighty's divine helper with a divine function. There's no person on earth that can create what Eve has and what you have. Do you understand? Only God. And husbands, you have to think of you and your wife as one flesh. You have to remove false thinking from your mind. You have to say, listen, men, you have to say, I'm not building my life. I'm building one life. Does that make sense? Because we are one flesh. When you think of yourself, you have to think of your wife. To love yourself is to love your wife. To hurt your wife is to hurt you.
Well, we're out of time for now, but please join us tomorrow when Pastor Bill will conclude this message. And as always, we thank you for listening with us today. Until next time, may the Lord bless you. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.